SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Grid Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Scumbags! Let's rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
We rolling into level three here. And you know what? We throw off the intro and all this. I am Gabe Morenci. You already know that. Amongst our 50,000 listeners tonight. We got our numbers the other night. In between 44 and 50,000 people tuning in right now, Sirius XM. We had a bunch of nut jobs in our chat to think they're the center of the universe that aren't. But we appreciate them tuning in too. But it's nice to know we got big ass numbers. Wager Talk's killing it. Tony Fayworth, Mick Ossie will join us in a moment. But how about this line of the night? Jazz in our chat right now. How much did Brad Stevens, Tony Finn, we'll bring Mick in a minute. How much did Brad Stevens, he gets control of the team?
Yeah.
This guy just traded Kemba Walker 5 days later, bro. That's cold. Yeah. Not even draft. Like he's like, you know what? You're out of here, bro. You're gone.
Yeah.
But he was the coach. So in other words, he's saying, we don't want you here.
Kim is a shell of himself. He's a shell of who he was last year and the year before that, Gabe. Absolutely. A knee injury, did him in.
I know. Yeah, but you know what? I love Kemba Walker.
Well, I like Kemba too.
Listen, yeah. Kemba's peak of his career was the Big East tournament at MSG. And then, good player.
Yeah.
And listen, you notice, Tony, we see this talking playoffs. There's a difference, bro, between putting up 22 a night on a piss poor team and playing on the Boston Celtics when it matters, bro. It just is, Tony.
Yes, it is. You're absolutely right. And guys that you've already said it. There's guys that do shoot that get five minutes in the regular season.
Hey, look at Aaron Gordon. Look at Aaron Gordon. I love Aaron Gordon. Oh, Aaron Gordon, Denver. Hey, how'd he do in the playoffs, Tony? Hey, you ain't in Orlando anymore dunking on people when it doesn't matter, bro. Now you got to defend. Now you got to dive for a loose ball. Now you got to make a free throw. Couldn't do it.
Right. No. I'll step out further than Aaron Gordon, and I'll say, listen, I have questions about the Joker. You cannot whine and bitch about every single little thing and concentrate on basketball.
Suck it up.
And he's got to stop this crap.
Yeah, you see Kawhi Leonard? He doesn't say crap. He plays.
Yeah.
He looks at the ref. He gives him an eye.
That's right.
Exactly. You're the MVP. You don't need to cry. And you start little fake wars and stuff. I love those guys in the NBA, too, with a little push fest with their stomachs, like Embiid. Hey, Embiid, if you want a piece of Collins, take them.
Yeah.
If not, shut up.
Kawhi Leonard,
all right, hold on.
Helen Reddy. Go ahead. Helen.
Radio affiliates, hold on. God, are we good. I am Gabriel Morenci. Go, Habs, go! Go, Habs, go! Go, Clips, go! Go, Clips, go! Shout out for all of you listening on the Mighty 1090. All six of you Clipper fans, including our producer, Matias. Wow, the Clippers. Clippers, all right. Hey, do we have Mick Ossie? Is Mick Ossie here? Hey, Mick, we got Tony Finn. We're not getting AFL yet, Mick, but how you doing, Mick? Hey, Mick, how about those Montreal Canadiens? You losers in Edmonton like that? Connor McDavid. Hey, you can't, you Quebec hating son of a bitches. What's up, man? How you doing, Mick?
I love it. And Tony Finn, how you going? But yes, I've got a Maple Leafs mate at work and I just razz him up. It's fantastic. And I hope Canada's team, Canadians, go well, mate. Good on them. Don't worry about those bad odds. Carey Price is a champion. I love it. Good on you, Gabe, and Clam and Pie Man and all those guys. Congratulations. Not over yet, though, eh?
Mick,
no, 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 no. You're exactly right, Mick. Thank you for reminding me of that. But you know what, Mick? You're right, it's not over, but you know what? We were the biggest underdogs in the last 31 years, supposedly, according to the losers in Vegas. And I'm disappointed in my people at FanDuel. They didn't set, like, a different number. I would have told them to, but whatever. But you're right, Mick. The series is not done. But, Mick, people said Vegas were going to run us. Remember? The North Division are a bunch of Canadian losers. You remember that, Mick? How's that going? But you're right. The series is not done.
Well, because Vegas beat one of the favorites, the Colorado Avalanche, so that's probably why. But, Gabe, it is about time a Canadian team won that Stanley Cup. I've been here 23 years, and it hasn't happened. And Tony Finn, they love hockey up here. They love it with a passion. I'm a so-so fan. I'm a fickle hockey fan. I love it sometimes. But those goalies have got too much padding on. That's what lost it a little bit with me. But, yes, Carey Price. A goalie is so important. They talk on radio about goalies and defense. They underrate goalies. A best goalie is so, so important. Nearly
You're
as good
damn
as
right,
a good
Mick.
Quarterback, I reckon.
All right, so hang in here, Tony. We got Mick Aussie with us, too. Hey, Mick. Hey, Ben Simmons, they won tonight. But, man, what's up with Australia? Andrew Gaze is the best Australian player ever. Andrew Gaze. We're getting AFL more with Finn, Mick Aussie, bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Romerick. And you're damn lucky to listen to this show because we give you nothing but winners, baby. And we're going to do so right now. We got Mick Aussie. We're going to get to the NFL in a second. And Mick, listen to me, Mick. We're up against it. We got you on here. We're up against it. We got Steve Merrill coming up. So, Mick, we're not going to go through every game tonight, but give us your best multi, your best parlay, your best picks. And Tony,
yes.
Let's go to Tony Finn right now first.
Yes.
NBA, Milwaukee, Brooklyn, Game 7. Here we go. Here we go. Nothing, two best words in sports, Game 7. Besides, yeah, that's not true. The best two words in sports are, I win. But Brooklyn Nets, minus one right now.
Yep.
Tony? And Mick, yeah. Think about your pick here, too. We got Sam Elf. And let's go rapid fire so we get to as many games as possible. I'll throw it to you right now. Can Giannis beat Kevin Durant in Brooklyn in a game 7, bro? Talk to me.
Finn or Mick? If it's Finn, no.
Finn!
Nets win. Nets are winners. They go on. They move on. The Nets move on, win game 7 over the Bucks and face the Sixers for the rights to meet the West.
Oh, hey, Sixers. Will you lay 7.5 for the Sixers on Sunday?
I will do this instead. I will do this. I will throw them into a parlay with the game I like on Sunday, and that's what I'll do.
Same thing, essentially,
but yeah, that's what I do.
Wow. Hey, Mick, what do you think, Mick? I know you're not big an NBA guy. What do you think? Milwaukee with Giannis, the Greek freak, who, they, you know, Milwaukee are getting better every game, man. And Kevin Durant, one of the greatest players ever to play the game. Game 7 tomorrow night, 8:30 Eastern. And the game's basically a pick 'em. Brooklyn's minus one. Who you got, Mick?
Well, Gabe, I would like the Bucks and Giannis to win, but I think the home field and Kevin Durant, but Harden's a bit injured. But my basketball guy, Kyle, he likes the net, so I will go the net, even though I hope it is the Bucks. And Philly, I hope they lose. I'm so-so with Ben Simmons. I'll go the Hawks. They are at minus one, and my basketball guy, Kyle, likes the Hawks. So I'll go Hawks and Nets.
Yeah. So Tony, I was on the Hawks tonight, and you know what, guys? I threw it out there the other night. The Hawks were 55-1 when the series was tied. Right? They're up 3-2. They're 55-1.
Right.
And I said, Tony, on the show, I don't even care if you like the Hawks tonight. You just take them, and we'll hedge it if they win.
That's right.
Dude, you got 55-1. Even if you can hedge it twice, Tony. You know what I'm saying? 55-1.
Absolutely.
I did out the numbers. I'm like, all right, you put $1,000 at minus 300 in the next round. You win 300. You put 2,000, you win 600. You know what I mean? It's almost how much you want to take out from your ATM machine and do it. And if you lose, you do it again in the finals, whatever. Then you're guaranteed to win.
I couldn't agree more. You know, Cam and that group, when we used to do the live in-game live, I was my nickname was a hedgehog. I hedged everything.
Tony, let me ask you right now, because I've been talking about this. The other day, Tampa and the Islanders hockey. All right?
Yep.
Tampa were like minus 260 series favorites in the series coming in. Defending Stanley Cup champions. Whatever the hell, 240, 220, whatever it was. They lost one game, Tony, became 110. I said, I don't care whether you like Tampa or not. You take this at 110 and you put it in the drawer. And Mark Lawrence, one of my favorite guys ever, taught me that during that Cleveland Warriors 3-1. Mark Lawrence had like 10 bets, bro, with like every team at plus money. And Teddy brought it up. Teddy brought it up to me last week too. He said, if you like the team in a series, or you like a team in a playoff game, just bet them the series instead of the game, or both.
That's correct. If you like
totally
the game,
true,
if you
right?
like
Talk
that
to
team
me.
In the
Talk
next
to
game,
me, Tony.
That's correct. Teddy is 110% spot on correct. If you like, listen, you're in the game one of a series, you don't have to bet the team. Bet that team. If you like to win game one, you bet them in the series. There you go.
Mick, what do you got for us? And let me ask you, Mick, all you losers in Western Canada, you hate Trudeau. You hate Quebec. You hate this. I don't even know why you hate Quebec. Quebec hasn't even caused problems in like 30 years. So, but all you guys, I see you, especially Winnipeg and all this. Let me ask you, are people in Edmonton pulling for the Canadians or the bars full, Mick, or people don't care at all? I bet you don't care at all, right?
I'm pulling for the Canadians because of you and when I was on Team 990 with you for many years, but I had an Eskimos, mate. He got upset when I was barracking for the Montreal Alouettes one night. This is why they don't like you, mate, because you buy oil from the Arabs instead of buying from us, and a lot of this Alberta money goes to Quebec. So, there we go. I'll argue with you on that many a time. We need another segment on that, Gabe. We can't talk about it now.
Yeah, we're not going to get into the oil industry now. Yeah, mate, but that's good. Hey, tell your buddy to suck it. Tell your buddy to suck it. Although the Eskimos, it's now the Edmonton Elks. And I'll tell you right now, Mick, we're doing the party. It's setting up. People are already lining it up. And we'll play our damn tennis match. If you beat me, you beat me. Mick, we're putting the challenge out right now. We're playing tennis. We're going to the game. August 19th, BC Lions, Edmonton Elks, Vancouver, British Columbia. Be there.
You better buy a racket. You better buy a racket. You better buy some shoes. And I'll give you a bit of advice, Gabe. You talk about you can't put a vaccine in your arm. Why don't you start to eat healthy? Go and buy some vegetables and everything. Because trust me, you think it's cool.
I did put a vaccine in my arm. I did put a vaccine in my arm. I did. Hey, I'm doing my best for society. Shut up. I did. What are you talking about? Eat healthy. Don't worry about me. I'm going to kick your ass on the tennis court. We'll see. All right, August 17th and 19th, Mick. We'll see you. We'll see. You say, I want to fly. I've given you many options. You're a better tennis player than me, but I'm not scared. We're going to go. Mick, what's your best bets? AFL, I'm going to get Tony Finn's best bets NBA this weekend. What do you got, Mick? Best bets, AFL. Well, oh, dear God, we're talking to Matisse here. Yo, Mick. Hey, Tony, you hear this?
I do. See, it's not just me. It's not just me.
All right, Tony. I won the AFL pick. I think he's so sensitive about me and him in tennis. I don't know if he hung up out of anger. I didn't talk smack either. I just said, I'll see you or we'll play. I didn't even talk smack.
What you know, if you can't do that, then what can you do, right?
Okay, so let me ask you, Finn.
Go.
Let's get into it. And I'll throw a baseball thing because I'm not even focused on it.
Oh, there he is.
No one cut you off, Mick. Shut up. Nobody cut you off, all right? Your cell phone service sucks. Just like all you Oiler fans in Alberta suck. Hey, you accept the challenge? I see you August 19th. Hey, Edmonton Elks, first game in BC. Let's go. But Mick, best bet. We got 30 seconds. I'm sorry. We got Mick coming. What's your best bet, Mick? And better not lose.
Oh, shit. Take the Lions and the Giants and the Bombers all to win. And be careful on the under over. But we went 2-0 best bets last week. Lions, Giants, and Bombers should get it done.
Hey, you're the best, Mick. I love you, Tony. Tony says Brooklyn. God bless you all. Steve Mayo, next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Our goal is subtle,
but profound.
We want you,
Sporto,
to hold court at the company water cooler every Friday and Monday.
Get it?
That's the winning edge. All you gotta do is listen. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
The Late Night Anger Management Class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Dave Lombarensi. Let's bring in Steve Merrill, Wager Talk in the house, throwing it down as he does with us every Tuesday and Friday after a wild night in the National Basketball Association this evening. Steve, what a roller coaster, man. You and I have talked throughout the playoffs, and we'll get to my Milwaukee Bucks in a moment, Steve. I'm back on the wagon. Last week I was like, oh, I don't know. Back on the wagon. But tell you what, ups and downs, man. Betting on the Philadelphia 76ers and Atlanta Hawks series is going to lead people to alcoholism, bro.
Yeah, I want to know, Gabe, do I get a couple years of my life back since they covered tonight after they took several years of my life the last two games? I mean, I've been on them basically, I think, four of the last five games, including the last three in this series. And double-digit blown leads, you know, huge 26 blown lead in game five. And felt they made me sweat it again tonight. I mean, at worst, I was going to get a push maybe at three. That line was 2.5-3, but they end up winning by five with some late free throws. And, yeah, never easy. By the way, Gabe, speaking of the Bucks, if the Bucks win Saturday, and that's a big if, I think they win the whole thing. That's my new prediction. So I'm getting on the bandwagon later than sooner, but I might be with you.
I love it. And, you know, isn't that the theme, Steve, of this year's NBA playoffs? If this team wins here, like, honestly, there's never been anything like this before where on a daily basis the future market, like, moves. Teams are left for dead. Then they're back. Then they're gone. It's like, oh, no, they're done. And so you're buying in. And listen, you and I were in agreement with that. And, you know, other people weren't. But I said, exactly. I said, I think Milwaukee is that dark horse where everybody annoys Philadelphia and everybody annoys Brooklyn. I'm not, you know what I mean? I think Milwaukee can get through. But I was on record, Steve, to say, I do believe the winner of Milwaukee and Brooklyn get through. Especially if – it's a good point, Steve. If Milwaukee get through, bro, I know it's only a second round, but it's a big second round win, isn't it? You just beat Kevin Durant. You came back. They might be a lot looser right now and sort of slay the dragon and just go up there and start to play basketball because they have a lot of pressure on them all the time, the Bucks.
Yeah, I mean, I should say also whoever wins this game Saturday night will be the champion because I think Brooklyn probably wins it too. And they, of course, have been the favorite for the last several rounds. Once the Lakers got bumped, you know, the Nets became even bigger favorites. But, yeah, I'm on the Brooklyn I'm on the Milwaukee bandwagon now. If you told me the Lakers get bumped in the first round, if you told me Kawhi Leonard gets hurt, if you told me the 76ers suck.
Paul would get COVID.
Right, Chris, exactly. And Donovan Mitchell would get hurt. Conley wouldn't play much, you know. And then, Paul George gets COVID after getting the vaccine. Had you told me all of that, Gabe, a month ago, I would have been with you on the Milwaukee Bucks, but I'm there now.
Yeah, well, here you go. It was a long, winding road. Yeah, Chris Paul, not Paul George, but close enough, same thing.
No, I think I think he has COVID in every playoff game he's ever played in, Paul George.
that's cold, Steve. That's cold, Steve Merrill. And I'll tell you what, when Trae Young hit that three-point shot to make it 94-93 with about 2 minutes left, I think there was 1:59 left, actually, at that time, when he hit that shot, it was like, wow, are Philadelphia really going to blow this again? And Embiid was clearly getting frustrated, you know, double technical. You know, there was a little dust up under the basket. Emotions were running high. But Atlanta just couldn't close the deal. And we see this, man. You let them off the hook, like Dennis Green said, right? You want to crown their ass, you crown their ass. We let them off the hook. And that's exactly what they did. They let them off the hook.
They're who we thought they were. That's what you could say, too, right? That was his other great line to say. They're who we thought they were. But, you know, maybe we're overlooking Philadelphia. You know, it's funny. The series is now 3-3, and we don't know until Sunday who the winner is going to be. But I almost feel like it's definitely Philly now. And, of course, I've liked them in the last three games. I feel like they've let all three get away. They won tonight. They almost let it get away. The other two, they definitely let get away. So I'd be very surprised if Atlanta goes in and wins outright in Game 7. Now, the Hawks have been much weaker on the road this year compared to home. The Sixers have been the better team for the most part in this series. So maybe we're overlooking Philadelphia. Maybe if they get their act together, but it's a big maybe because you look at, Ben Simmons, he just can't be trusted. I mean, it's a number two draft pick overall, and it's a situation now where you're wondering if they should pull him late in these games. I mean, so, you know, it's not exactly the type of team you want to be backing in the seven-game series, but, you know, will Brooklyn be healthy? I don't think James Harden's completely there. He was 1-for-10 in that first game. They rushed him back because Irving was out in Game 5. He didn't look great in Game 6 to me either. And now, Gabe, you know, Saturday night's game is their third game in 5 days. It's not like he's going to be getting better. If anything, I think it's going to be a tougher spot for him now.
Steve Merrill, Wager Talk, kick it with us. So, Steve, you know, that's the thing that so many times you would sort of assume, like now – now people are going to assume that Philadelphia is going to roll them, right, in Game 7.
Yeah.
Oh, they won this game. Oh, that's it. Atlanta are going to roll over. But are they? That's the thing. They're, you know, these young teams, it's hard for them to close series out. I know it sounds cliche, but, you know, the series clinching win is the hardest one to get. And, you know, we saw the Dallas Mavericks with Luka Doncic knocking on the door but unable to deliver that knockout punch. That's what's been impressive about Phoenix in the playoffs, Steve. They've shown an ability to, you know what, let's just beat these guys and end this series. You know, like even with the Lakers, yeah, there were injuries and stuff, but Phoenix didn't play around. They just went out there and killed them.
Yeah, now we worry about that hangover that we talked about Tuesday night. You know,
yes, sir.
Shaquille's magic number, 5 days, and it's well past that, obviously, for Phoenix. And, you know, Phoenix has been off for a full week after sweeping the Nuggets. And the whole, Chris Paul, the CP3 situation, all these guys get me confused, George 3, all this stuff. But, just a lot of concern with, you know, Phoenix in that game one, and that's why I'm thinking, you know, they're not a sure thing there to be in the finals like you would have thought. But I still think, you know, Phoenix is the team to beat in the West, and I think the winner of the Brooklyn-Milwaukee game will be the team to beat in the East. And one thing about Milwaukee, I mean, I know home teams have a huge edge in Game 7 historically about 80% of the time, but Brooklyn is beat up, as we've talked about. And Milwaukee, you know, yes, they won the game by 15, led by 11 in Game 6, but keep in mind, they had a 16-point halftime lead in Game 5 and lost that game. So it's kind of like what Philadelphia's been doing. They've been the better team in a lot of these recent games, and you would expect that to show in Game 7. The one thing, Gabe, it's got to worry you, though. do you really want to side with Giannis over Kevin Durant in a must-win game? I mean, that obviously makes me a little nervous with the Bucks.
It really is amazing, isn't it, when you put it that way? So, Kevin Durant versus Giannis in a must-win Game 7 situation, and Kevin Durant has home court, and the game's essentially a pick-em.
Right.
So why are we running the window to bet Brooklyn right now? I'm not.
Yeah.
I like Milwaukee. I'll go down with the ship. I said Milwaukee, we're taking Milwaukee here, Steve. But yeah. I can't say that. Like, even saying that out loud right now, I'm just picturing, I'm like, my God, Kevin Durant's going to go off for like 57 points, and it's going to be like a Jordan-like performance tomorrow. The guy's a legend, bro. I don't like betting against him. It's a tough game.
Well, what do you have, like 47 or 49 in game five?
49. He would have had 50, and he missed the free throw late.
That's right. Yeah, but he only had 32 then in game six.
Yeah,
but
only.
Right, exactly. And that worries you, though, because like you said, you feel like he's going to bounce back now. But I'll tell you the key. And it's another guy I think has been a little bit overrated in his career. He's a great, great offensive player, but obviously his defense at times and his, you know, just over lackadaisical attitude out there has been a question mark, and that's Harden. I think both Harden and the Greek have been overrated superstars in recent years, whereas I think Kevin Durant is maybe one of the more underrated greatest players ever. So I think this really comes down to James Harden Saturday night. If he can muster up a good game, if he's healthy enough to play, and I just haven't seen it. You know, normally, third game back, you're like, oh, he's going to get his legs under him and stuff. But it's the third game in 5 days. He was 1-for-10 in 40-some minutes in game five. Wasn't much better in game six. I really think Harden's the key here. And Durant having a monster game still might not be enough if Harden doesn't step up as well.
Man, it really is a tough, like, I'm sitting here and you know, we've been on Milwaukee in every game of this series, actually. And yeah, we're up, actually, because we played a couple of first halves and stuff like that. So we are up in this series. But with that being stated, and I know we're here to give picks, but it doesn't mean we have to give you a pick on something I don't like, tell you, you know, something I'm not sure of. I don't know. But one thing I do know is I'm not betting the over, Steve, of this series. You know, the unders just keep cashing and cashing and cashing. And man, have they adjusted. What was the game one number? Wasn't it 239.5?
Yes. Yeah, it was some 240s out there briefly. 239.5 is pretty much the closing number.
So imagine, Steve, now we're from 239.5 from in game one to game seven right now, about 10 days later, whatever it's been, 2 weeks later, 215.
Yeah.
215, 24.5 point adjustment, Steve. That's rare, to see them be off by that much.
Yeah, it's crazy. So later on Saturday morning, I'm going to be on with Teddy Covers, 8 a.m. Eastern, 5 a.m. Pacific, right here on Sirius.
Right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
And Teddy had pointed it out to me that it's 25 points lower. And then at noon Eastern to 2 p.m. on Saturday afternoon, I'll be back with Joe Ranieri right here on Channel 204 Sports Grid. And Joe mentioned before game one a few weeks ago, he goes, do you think we'll see a mid-240 total in this series? And I told him, I go, look, if this before game one, I go, if game one soars over, we're going to see a 245 in game two. But, of course, we never got there because every single game has gone under, and then we've had the injuries on top of that. But, yeah, remarkable drop in the totals. And keep in mind, Gabe, as you know, I mean, game sevens favor home teams, and they also favor the under normally. You know, these teams normally buckle down. They play hard-nosed defense. Even James Harden will probably be playing defense on Saturday night.
Steve Merrill kicking with us. I'll tell you what, Steve, it's a lot like the Super Bowl, in which the total, what was it, 50 or higher? Or, you know, 53 or, you know, I think it was 50 or higher, 51 and higher, whatever. Basically, every time there's two high-scoring teams in the Super Bowl, it goes under. That's the theme. And, the point was, too, I saw a stat the other day, Steve, and I could dig it up here, but essentially it was, when the top, like, two and three scoring teams in the NBA meet each other in the playoffs all the time, the games always go under. Because the numbers are so high, right? The odds makers are setting regular season numbers, and playoff basketball is...
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public would be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.
Different, and you know, I don't even like betting on unders in the NBA. I crushed the under in that Sixer game tonight, and I'm glad that we did. More with Steve Merrill on the other side. It's the Friday Night Free Show, the Late Night Anger Management Podcast continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
These days, it's hard to find something you can trust. Your car?
Yeah, right.
Trust takes time. And that's why we're here.
24 hours a day.
7 days a week. We are your trusted source for gaming, odds,
and more.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
You're listening to Sports Grid Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM Channel 204.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci, throwing it down with Steve Merrill, Wager Talk. So, Steve, Philadelphia 76ers, Atlanta Hawks, Game 7. Philadelphia 76ers lay 7.5. 7.5 against the Atlanta Hawks. You know, I was sort of expecting that. I was thinking 6.5, 7, 6.5. What do you think of 7.5? Little high, just right? What's your take on the number?
Yeah, I mean, the game five number that I had to play on Philly the other night was 7, basically, when I put it out, and then it went up to 7.5, so not a surprise. You know, and once again, they had a 26-point lead in that game, so it's not like they were outplayed. And I do think there's something to that. I know you say, well, Atlanta came back and won outright. You know, whatever. You know, I think Philly outplayed them in the majority of the last few games. In fact, Philly was down by 20 in the first half of game one. They outscored them by 16 the rest of the way. They won game two by 16. They won game three by 16. They had double-digit leads in the other games, you know. So, like you said, it seems too obvious, and maybe it is. And obviously, Philly has some closure problems. But I mean, what are you going to do? Just hope that they self-implode? You're going to take the team that you know is the weaker team on the road. So they had to price it there, and I wouldn't be surprised if it maybe is 8 by game night on Sunday.
And it is Sunday night, the basketball game. So game 7, we got 2 game 7s this weekend, Steve. Saturday night and Sunday night. Steve Merrill kicking with us. Wow. Gotta love the playoffs, man. You know, the emotions, the ups, the downs in the National Hockey League, the NBA. And I love the emotion, man. It's just been different in the NBA this year. Oftentimes when teams are down, they'll quit, and they don't now. I know, I'm talking the good teams. I'm not talking about the early sweeps and stuff like that. But I love seeing, Embiid and Collins get into it tonight. Show some passion, Steve. When people say these guys don't care, they care. And I don't know. Maybe they're playing for money. Maybe they're playing for fame. Maybe they're playing for shoe contracts. Whatever it is they're playing for, Steve, you can't tell me NBA players don't care, man. Watch the playoffs. These guys are, busting, ass to try to win games. And, it doesn't always work out for them. But you can't say because it's a lack of effort. Like, the Atlanta Hawks, whatever happens, these kids have, tried their hearts out, Steve.
Yeah, and, I think a lot of times we think, well, these guys make so much money that they just kind of go through the motions. But then, you think, Gabe, you and I, we're competitive guys. If we were to go play a pickup game right now.
Exactly.
We still want to win. It's it's just you don't get to that level in your life and your career, no matter what it is, whether it's sports,
radio. You don't
radio.
Make it to the NBA unless, it's like Jim Harbaugh, right?
Right.
The Harbaughs. They talk about these guys fist fight playing ping pong at Christmas dinner, right?
Exactly.
That whatever it is, they're going to compete. And it's one of those deals. And I get it. They have a good life and stuff. You're in the NBA. You're 25 years old. You got $60 million. But all these guys understand, Steve, I'm rich. But to become a legend, I need to play well in the playoffs, right? There's guys, some guys are just happy being rich, and some other guys are no, I want to be a legend. I want to be a playoff legend. And you see which guys care.
Right, and that's why, as I said earlier, game sevens historically are a little lower scoring. The unders usually come more times than not, and it's the same thing.
Big pressure on everybody.
Right, yeah, and the Sixers are facing elimination tonight. They're coming off a huge blown lead, and it's not like they don't know people are watching. I mean, they don't want to – you know, nobody wants to look like a fool. And these guys especially, I mean, all these guys are high profile. A lot of them are egomaniacs. And that's a good thing in a way because it makes you want to succeed. And, yeah, I think that's something we overlook a lot of times. You think, well, these guys.
I'm totally with you, Steve.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to hear you say that. I don't know, sometimes we get into debates, not often. But I totally, because I've heard that before sometimes, like even college bowl season. Oh, the kids, these kids don't care. It's like, no, maybe the coaches don't care or the school doesn't care. But, like. Yeah, I remember I got into a big argument a couple of years ago with the Ducks when Herbert was there. They weren't going to the playoffs, but they were going to the Rose Bowl. And a couple of guests came on and said, well, I don't think they're going to care as much. They're not as motivated because it's not the playoffs. And I said, so you're telling me the kids on the Ducks don't want to beat the Wisconsin Badgers in the Rose Bowl? Like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's the Rose Bowl, man. Like, and as you know, and it's exactly what you said. I said, these kids, you don't become a five-star recruit and play with the Oregon Ducks by not caring, Steve, about games and plays. That's what you're there for, because you care about everything, right?
Right.
Like, that athletes care. You're exactly right. That whole, they don't care. Doesn't mean teams don't mail it in, and some teams, you know, hey, organizations will try to tank. All that is all true. But I'm totally with you. The whole thing that, oh, they're rich, they don't care, that's a pile of crap.
I'll tell you what, the bowls are a very interesting example, though. And I think probably Dave Malinsky, the great Dave Malinsky, you know, probably used this analogy and has told both of us over the years. But it's not that they don't care when they're playing. And it's the same thing. I think Dave actually used the analogy with letdowns, like in general, after a big win.
Yeah.
It's not that they don't care on Saturday. It's Monday through Friday when the distraction sets in and they're not fully prepared. So
point. Yeah.
I think that's the difference.
Yeah. Because you're right. You're right, Steven. You're totally right. I've seen it in bowls. You're like, these kids look into it, but then they get smoked. Anyways,
right.
It's like, because they didn't take it seriously, like, leading into it. They're fired up once the band is playing and they've come, their name is announced, and they run through the tunnel. You're right, Steve. Great point by Mr. Malinsky. He's still making points, even though he's not with us.
Oh, no, Dad, look, you and I both picked up some great handicapping lessons from Dave Malinsky over the decades, and I think that's one that sticks with me, and I've explained it a lot of times to people that football's a physical sport. You're not going out on the football field at 100% focus. If you are, you're leaving on a stretcher. So that's never the issue. It's just the fact that they're not ready for that deep pass or that cut across the middle, that play. They weren't prepared because they were not paying attention to the film session. Because there's no question, as you know, Gabe, that you see results in the bowl games where double-digit underdogs went outright. I mean, so there's
But that's the thing. One team is prepared and one isn't. You're exactly right. So it doesn't mean that no one cares. It's hard. But on the other flip of it, Kyle Turley, who I learned a hell of a lot from, Kyle Turley told me, though, and you'll see it, Steve, on bad football teams. Football, I can't, like, I'm just thinking football, not other sports, so football. Like, he was telling me, because Kyle was on good teams. He was on the Rams and stuff with Marks and, like, Warner and all those guys. And then he was on bad teams. He was with Dicka and the Saints when they were, like, 1-15 or whatever, or 2-4, whatever the hell, 2-14, whatever the hell they were. And he told me that. He said, once you get to, like, be, like, 1-10 and stuff like
that,
he's like, there's a saying. He goes, there's a saying in the room. For who and for what?
Right?
Like, basically, guys start thinking about their career, Steve. They're like, I'm not going to go crazy and get killed here.
Yeah.
And so we go 4-12. The year's over. I'll play hard. Doesn't mean they don't care. It just means, you know what? We're 0-11. The season's done, guys. Like, it's done. Let's not be stupid here. You know what I mean? For who and for what? You're going to break your leg now for what? Like, you know what I mean? You know what I mean, Steve? You're going to get hurt and ruin your career for what? It's for who and for what? They don't say that early in the year, but he admitted it. He goes, when we were over for 11, that was the saying. For who and for what?
I would like, you know, we should go back, Gabe, and, like, look up the over-under records for, like, sub-300 teams, like, second half of the season playing each other, you know, because that would make a lot of sense. They're not going to tackle. They're not going to hit hard.
Like, whatever.
Yeah, and I know that works. That's actually an angle I've used for decades in the NBA. Last month of the season, two non-playoff teams, I always look at the over. I call it the playground mentality.
This. You're right. Yeah. It's just, hey, it's a stat. It's almost you talk to the guys right before the game on the other team, man, hey, I'm going to put up 25 tonight. I'm going to put up 30, and you wink at each other, right?
Like, well, think about it, and they all benefit because what gets them
contracts?
It's their offensive numbers. It's not how many steals they had or blocked shots in that game.
You've got to be a jerk and stupid almost, right, to get in each other's way.
Right, it's like an all-star game.
Union brothers. You're like, listen, we all make more money if we play a high-scoring game. All right? You know what I mean? Pretty simple here.
Yeah, it's worked for years. I mean, obviously the odds makers have caught on. They jack the totals. But, I mean, sometimes they can't set it high enough. I just call that the playground mentality because there's all offense, no defense, showboating, and lack of effort. You know, and that's, once again, what playoff games on average in the NBA are about 3 points lower scoring just on the blind over several decades because there's more intensity. The games matter more. That's like the Super Bowl angle you brought up. They make the mistakes of looking at overall numbers – and they don't take in that human element, that emotional element, which is something, as you know from talking to me for years now, that, you know, that's kind of, I think that's one area you can find an edge over the odds makers. The point spread is a very statistical thing, and that human element is not taken into account. The odds makers don't know how to do it, in my opinion.
The bigger the game, the bigger event, it's going to go under. Steve, look, it's the Euro Cup soccer stuff going on right now, right? And today, unders 3-0, bro. And people are surprised. I can't believe they didn't score. I mean, you can't believe they didn't score. There's, you know how many people are watching and betting on this stuff, Steve? You got 4 billion people watching. Nobody wants to be the one to make the mistake. Every team has scouted the other team for months. Every team is good. They know each other's tendencies. And also, Steve, in the playoffs and in championships and stuff, the other coaches are like masters at like taking away what you're good at. You know what I mean? It's like, right. Listen, we know you're going to do this, and we're going to make you do something else. And if you can do it, something else, God bless you. If you can't, you're in trouble. And we see that time and time again. So, Steve, before we get you out of here, I actually had to do a double take because I'm like, NASCAR goes to Nashville. And I'm like, Nashville, huh? It's the name of the track there. Because I'm, you know what I mean? I'm not as good as I can't, like, I'm not going to stump the Schwab, but I know my track, Steve. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, Nashville? What the hell is Nashville? What the name? And then I'm thinking, all right. And, well, they haven't been there in like 10 years, right? That's why. But I remember, because I was thinking, don't they give the guitar to the winner, Steve, right? They give the guitar. Remember, give them the guitars.
Yeah, Nashville's actually, the Cup Series has never run there. I've been following NASCAR for 20 years now.
So what was it, the Xfinity? Or the,
exactly,
the
yeah,
or,
Xfinity, yeah. And I believe maybe truck. Xfinity,
you remember, they give a Gibson guitar, Les Paul, right, to the winner. I know, I'm a musician. Right. I love Les Pauls. That's why I was like, I'm like, what do you mean they haven't been there, but I swear they give you a guitar and stuff. So that's it, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like Kyle Busch has run there. Kevin Harvick has run well. So, you know, there are some guys that have experience from the Xfinity Series that we'll keep an eye on. And by the way, this Saturday afternoon, Kyle Busch is a minus money favorite in the Xfinity race. He's the only big name guy that's going to be in it. And there's a practice session also on Saturday and a one lap qualifying session impound on Sunday. And you know, Kyle Busch does better with practice and track time, and he's been running well this year. So I think he's going to be worth a look. And then, of course, we have to talk Hendrick. They've just been dominating. In fact, the All-Star race last week, Kyle Larson wins. He wins Sonoma the week before. He's been dominant overall this year. Hendrick and Penske, the three Penskes and the four Hendrick drivers, finished top seven in the Texas All-Star race in the mile and a half. Nashville, by the way, is a 1.3 oval, moderate banking, concrete surface. So a little bit of Dover with less banking, size of Darlington, but concrete, maybe Richmond, Kentucky as well. I mean, a lot of the cookie-cutter tracks. So the usual suspects will do well, and that's going to be Hendrick and Penske, and then maybe some Gibbs guys like, you know, Truex or Denny Hamlin or Kyle Busch, of course.
Yeah, Steve, normally we don't focus on the Xfinity, but Kyle Busch eats these guys. So he's minus 140 right now, FanDuel, for the Tennessee Lottery 250. Tennessee Lottery 250. Kyle Busch minus 140. Austin Cindric, 6-1. Justin Allgaier, 6-1. Allmendinger, our boy Allmendinger, is 14-1. What about this, Steve? Shouldn't Kyle Busch win this race?
Yeah, but, I mean, he's minus money. Now, look, he's minus money when he runs the truck races and he wins over half of them.
That's what I'm saying. Incredible. I know, but he beats these guys all the time.
Yeah, and he's running well this year, too. So, I mean, I would think, you know, he's minus money. Hey, look, it's most head-to-head matchups.
I'm minus 140 in a NASCAR race.
You're normally getting that in a head-to-head matchup, maybe minus 130. You're getting a minus 140 head-to-head matchup. Keep in mind, this is a head-to-head matchup, Kyle Busch versus the other, like, 35 drivers.
So, it's basically you versus 36 other guys.
That's what it is. It's exactly what it is. It's a head-to-head matchup.
For 140.
You've got 35
you're taking
guys.
The field. I'm like, I'm going to beat you all, man. I'm going to beat you all.
Yes, Kyle Busch probably wins, but I don't know if there's any value at minus 140. I mean, but look at, hey, Larson's like 2.5-1 to win the Cup race.
I know. I mean,
he's just been dominant. It's hard to argue against it, though.
It really is. I mean, the guy, he does it every week. And right now, to win the championship, Kyle Larson's plus 490. Is that a bet worth making?
Yeah, well, keep in mind, here's the thing about the championship. I love the playoff format. I think they really got it right with the stage racing because it makes the race more interesting throughout now. But the one knock that I have still with the whole championship format was back in the day, it was always Miami. Now it's Phoenix. So basically, it's one track. And Kyle Larson will be good at Phoenix, but he's not dominant there like he has these mile and a halves and stuff. Because Phoenix is a one-mile flat track. And guys like Chase Elliott last year, who was not the best driver last year, has not been even the best driver on his team this year. Byron, Larson, and even Bowman at times have all been better on his own team. Elliott was really good at Phoenix. You know, and guys like Kevin Harvick, remember Harvick dominated Phoenix for decades. So it's tough because Larson is the best driver this year, but it's going to come down to one race and the top finisher out of four guys. He'll be one of the four. But like Logano's really good on flat tracks, you know, so that's the only knock I have on it. I kind of wish there was a way maybe to incorporate the final three races or something because Larson is really smoking everybody. And then you look at a guy like Denny Hamlin. He hasn't won this year, but Hamlin is very good on flat tracks, you know? He might not win and then win the championship race. How crazy would that be?
Steve, Merrill, Wager Talk. Always good, Steve. We'll catch up on Tuesday. Who knows where the sports world will be. Thanks, buddy.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Network. You think I'm dead, but I'm not. Risen from the ashes, take what you've got.
Take what you've got.
You think I'm dead, but
think
I'm not.
Dead, but I'm not. If you're wondering, man, how does he sound so much like that guy? Because that's me. That's right, I'm that cool. I'm not cool. We have the best damn sports talk radio show in the business. Quickest 180 minutes in sports. And I'm also in the metal band. Yeah, and also basketball if you want to. Where do you want to go? I'm not a great tennis player, but me and Mick are going head to head. Did he accept the challenge? I don't know. I don't think he did. He started mumbling. Hey, Matisse, you hear that? I said, let's go. You heard it, right? You heard it, Matisse. I said, August 19th, let's go. We'll play tennis. Me and Mick are going to play tennis for money. You remember right away? Whoa, you heard him.
He was scared. He sounded a little, you know, shivered. He was shook, as the kids like to say these days. He was shook.
Now, listen, Mick's like me in hockey. Mick is Australian. He grew up. He played against Roger Federer. He's a great tennis player. But I'm an athlete. Let's go. Let's dance. Like David Bowie said, let's dance. Put on your dance shoes and dance the blues. Let's dance. All right, what do you got for us tomorrow, Matias? We got to get out of here. Congratulations to the Clippers. Congratulations to my Canadians. Fun show tonight. Great stuff. Thanks to all of our guests. But France, -1.5. Come on, baby. What's the score going to be? France and Hungary, bro.
I think 3-0 France, 4-0 France.
Yeah.
I think they cruise tomorrow. I like Portugal at +215 against Germany tomorrow.
What about the Germans, though, man? The Germans struggled the last World Cup, Matthias. They're there, but they're not there, bro. They're there. The last World Cup was a disappointment because they were supposed to win. But you know what I mean now? They're like England. They don't even try to score anymore. What's up with German soccer? Joachim Löw and these guys. What's up, bro? Like, I think this has underwritten all over it. Draw. No one's going to score, bro. This might be scoreless, Matias.
1-0 Portugal.
This Euro Cup is whack. On the road? Other than that, you're on your own. I'm the best. Later.
You're listening to sports news you can actually use.